Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling. We are talking season 2, episode 4 of Shit's Creek, Estate Sale. And of course, I'm here with someone who's always thinking about that crazy night at Kiss Kiss. Stuart, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm currently relaxing, enjoying a wonderful Galapagonian tortoise shell foot bath that I got for a tenner at an auction recently. Can you believe the bargains you can find?
Was it on the grass or on a really rickety table?
It's on the grass, weirdly enough. Yeah.
Of course. But we are not alone. We are joined by a very special guest, someone who always shops at the Blouse Barn. Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
You won't catch me at that freaking Blouse Barn if you paid me, for goodness sake.
Everything is skanky.
It was skanky, and I wouldn't buy anything from that woman either. I love this episode because there's all sorts of shopping, and as a recovering shopaholic, I have a lot of opinions about all of it.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to get into it. Sarah, before we start breaking down this specific episode, can you tell us a little bit about your history with Schitt's Creek? Because this is your first time on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. Took an appropriate amount of time. And So I've watched this show for a while. Like, I don't think I watched it from day one, but I think I picked it up around like season 2, season 3. And I definitely was able to binge it. And I really enjoyed it in a binge watching format. It's a 30-minute episode. It's very zippy. And I really loved it. I mean, I like Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara from the You and I covered Best in Show. And I always think of them from that era, as well as Eugene Levy from the American Pie era. So I feel as though like I got brought in through Eugene Levy. And of course, Catherine O'Hara is like Beetlejuice fame, like so many great movies from the 90s. Mm-hmm. So it's really a no-brainer. And I think what I fell in love with was just like the quirky characters and just like the character evolution that you'll see throughout the seasons, even from seasons 1 to 2, but seasons like 2 to how many seasons are there? 5, 6. 100. I don't know. Six. Yeah. I mean, so much character evolution in all sorts of forms. And it's a very great, it's a great sitcom. Probably the best in the last 10 years. I really love it. And then in terms of like, I mean, it's really hard to decide like which character I love the most. And I think throughout the series, I really just jumped from between Moira and David and Alexis. And I think I love them for like different reasons, some of which I just like can't get into yet. But like, how could you not love Moira's ridiculousness and Alexis's just like offhanded comments that you're like, wait, can we like pause down on that? Because that doesn't seem right. And then like mm-hmm. David, I mean, David's evolution throughout the series is just pretty much everything. And of course, I love everybody in this show in one form or another. So very happy to be on this podcast and join you. And I haven't watched an episode in a while, but I really loved watching today's episode.
Yeah, Estate Sale is a pretty fun one. I think all three storylines, Stuart, in this one are pretty incredible. Like, there isn't a dull moment in these, like, what, 20-something minutes of television.
Yeah. It's like, it's hard to really mess up when you've got this kind of, like, setup, when you've got these kind of ingredients to cook with. It's hard to, like, not to make a good meal. But, like, with this one, typically, like, I think that you do have the dud storyline, the one that's just progressing plot or kind of like just moving things along. But I think this one fired on all cylinders this week. This was hilarious. Kind of, not to get too far ahead of myself, but I think kind of reminiscent of The Cabin a little bit, and the fact that like every single scene of a particular storyline had me in stitches every single time. But we'll get into it.
Yeah. Before we jump into this episode too far, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. You could find us Talking Shit on all platforms. You could watch us on YouTube. That'll come in handy later when we do wig watch, because we do have a new wig this episode. When we tier rank the episode. And of course, don't forget, if you don't mind giving us a 5-star review, leaving a rating, leaving a little message for us, we greatly appreciate it. It helps more people find the podcast. But let's dive into this episode, season 2, episode 4. Estate sale. It's estate sale time. So let's see what little treasures we can find in this episode. Moira gets into a bidding war with Jocelyn over a new mattress. And luckily enough for them, the mattress doesn't have enough bounce for the bumps for Roland and Jocelyn. They sell the mattress to the Roses for just $50. What a bargain. It's slightly used, but you know. Roland ropes David into going shopping for Jocelyn at the blouse barn. While Roland focuses too much on the durability of a blouse, given they need the blouse for some sort of Devil Wears Prada roleplay, David is frustrated with the skankiness of the clothing available. And of course, Roland gets a really flashy, ugly red top because he's Roland. And Alexis and Mutt, they still are not on the same page when Mutt buys Alexis a bicycle. And the problem is, she doesn't know how to ride a bike. So with Twyla and Mutt's help, Alexis finally learns to ride a bike. And hey, so does David. And that's our episode.
Wild. I don't know why. I'm surprised that neither of the Rose kids knew how to ride a bike. But I didn't think that Alexis would have such a visceral reaction to learning. Like, she loved it. Like, get up and get out of here. Like, she adored it almost. And her enthusiasm, like, teaching David how to ride was just so kind of heartwarming in a way, but also just hilarious.
Yeah, this was interesting to me, Sarah. I know we've talked over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me a few different times about like swimming lessons and how it is sort of like a privileged thing to learn how to swim. You know, like it sometimes there is like a classism involved in it. Riding a bike does sort of feel similar, but I feel like even more kids learn how to ride a bike throughout their years of life. Yeah. I assume you know how to ride a bike, Sarah.
Yeah, I know how to ride a bike. Okay. I got taught by my parents. I think that, I loved riding bikes back in the day. I haven't ridden one in a while. I haven't had one in a while. Funnily enough, I've been trolling the Facebook marketplace for a bike. Because I think I am ready for a bicycle in my life. Maybe I should go to an estate sale to find one.
Maybe you'll get a helmet to pair with it.
Ooh, not a helmet.
No. You need a helmet.
No, helmets.
Safety first, listeners. Yeah, ignore her. Everyone get a helmet.
Helmets are scams. Have you?
Helmets are scams. So when you bash your head open because you're not wearing a helmet, you can't call me, actually, because you'll be dead.
Wow, harsh.
Well, yeah,
such an escalation.
Really harsh.
Harsh.
I saw some guy, he had one of those, he wasn't wearing a helmet, but he had one of those things that you wear around your neck and it detects when you fall over and it just suddenly like rapidly inflates and like creates like a little like inflatable one.
I have never heard
sounded
of
it. Like a gunshot went off though, because it like he skidded around the corner, hit some ice, went down and it just went bang. And then all of a sudden I just saw this guy like sliding down the ice and goes, like a little frazzled, went over to him. I was like, "You okay?" And he goes, "Oh, it works." And are you a mad scientist?
I've never heard of something like this before.
Yeah, I don't know if we have that over on this side of the pond. I'm sure we do in some capacity.
Leaps and bounds ahead technology wise. Yeah, of course. Yes. Yeah, everyone's got one.
I misremembered why Alexis was disturbed by the bicycle gift. I thought I was going to come into this episode and like the debate was, are bicycles good gifts? And I was going to say, no, it was an ugly bike and I hated it. But that is not why she didn't like the bike. I thought she didn't like it because it's like a bike, you know?
I mean, I also think it's not super. Okay. I think I agree with you in terms of like a bike not being a great gift. Like, you have to know the person that you're buying the gift for. And yeah, it's so obvious that Mutt doesn't understand who Alexis is when he buys her a bike, because beyond the fact that she doesn't know how to ride one, which how would he have known that? She wears high heels when she's picking up garbage, Mutt. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to get on Mutt's case, but I'm going to do it again. Mutt's an idiot. You've seen what she wears for community service, and you think she's going to be rocking some high heels on a bike, Mutt? What are you thinking? And a helmet. Like, again, I am all for helmets, safety first. Alexis certainly doesn't feel that way. This girl spends hours doing her hair in the morning, Stuart. What was Mutt thinking?
How can people appreciate the hair if it's not protected in a helmet?
You get helmet hair.
There will be one last hairstyle, and that will be it. No more Alexis. No more hairstyles.
Can I show you what I find as a good bike gift? This is the bike that I'm looking for. I'm looking for a beach cruiser with a basket.
Okay, hold on. Let me share my screen so that the people at home can see what the heck you're talking about. Hold on a second.
They know. I want a beach cruiser. I want to be cruising on the boardwalk with my cute
Isn't
little bike.
Isn't that the same bike, just a different color?
No. This is cute. I don't know Alexis's bike. Alexis's bike was like red and ugly.
It was pink. That's what I thought was red. It was pink because it was like Mutt doing the whole like, oh, it's a gift for a girl, therefore it must be a pink bike. That's the same bike.
Look how cute that bike is.
I feel like this is very similar to Alexis's bike. And the only thing that it has that one doesn't is like the basket. Did hers have a basket? I don't think so.
No, it was a basket, no.
And like it has the cute little thing on the back. Oh, it folds too, which is very convenient for like storage, I guess.
Convenient, yeah.
But, I don't know. I just think this is a terrible gift specifically for Alexis. You know, other people might appreciate this, but this is such a risk, especially because, and Sarah, you probably know this based on your searching for one, bikes are expensive. This is like a very, very expensive niche gift, which I feel like is a huge mistake for an early relationship, especially because we know that Mutt is like, whoa, pump the bicycle brakes. We're moving a little bit too fast. So why are you then buying her this like very, very expensive niche gift? It just doesn't make sense. Mutt's an idiot. I know I was like very like, I think I gave him some credit like an episode or two ago. It's all gone now because he's just dumb. He doesn't understand Alexis.
Can I ask Sarah a question? Mm-hmm. Have we talked about if Mutt's hot on this podcast?
We said he's basically abs and a beard. So he's hot, but he's dumb.
When I first watched this, I thought he was hot, but he has skinny arms for the rest of the team.
This leads into the theory that my husband had about Mutt being a fake carpenter.
Yeah.
No muscles? What?
Yeah, he has skinny arms. And then I noticed that, and then I was unattracted to him.
Because he's not a lumberjack. He's not a Paul Bunyan, if you will.
Yeah, I need a behemoth of a man.
Okay. So... but I did like the moment where Twyla, especially, I thought she was very funny in helping Alexis because this is a dumb way to learn, Stuart. I don't know how you learned to ride a bike, but holding on while Alexis just pedals without the chain on the bike, that's not going to do anything. She's been to spin class. She knows how to pedal a bike, Mutt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really stupid. Twyla thankfully saved the day with some actually good advice, which is you just got to do it. Like when you're in the moment and you've got to like your brain doesn't think about it and you're just instinct and stuff, that's when you realize how to ride a bike. So you just got to get the hell out of here and go for it. And thank God Twyla said, because yeah, when you're stationary with no chain and just going, what's that achieving? Like nothing. He's doing all the work because the entirety of riding a bike is all in the balance. So like Mutt's just taking away that from her.
It kind of reminds me how you teach kids to swim. Like how you like hold on to them and the kids are like kick, 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 kick.
Yeah. That's it's very similar. I think, yeah. I think the move is to, at least this is how I think how most people teach, is you hold the back of the bike as the person is starting to move, and then you eventually like kind of let go to let them balance on their own.
It's a sick joke.
What do you mean a sick joke? You're like letting, you can let them know that you've let go. But the point is
that every single dad in the universe was like, I'm never going to let you go. And then you are writing and they're like, and then you're like, you turn around and then you realize that your dad abandoned you. And then you're like, oh no. And then you fall over.
I will say the first time I ever rode a bike without, what is it? Tricycle wheels or whatever those are called. The first time I ever rode one, I fell into a ditch. So it does happen.
How many times did you fall in a ditch after that, though?
Oh, just the first time. Just the one time.
Exactly. Everyone's got to fall over. This is the thing. It doesn't, like, you've got to have people fail at something to learn. And this is why I like not with this kind of like almost helicopter parenting approach of training. It isn't going to work. You just got to let them do it. Let them fall over. They'll work out what they did wrong and then they'll like correct it. This is why like the whole tethered swimming thing is just improving technique. It's not actually helping them swim. Chuck them in the water. If they start drowning, maybe pick them out. But like,
if they drown, maybe pick them out. Maybe.
Maybe. It depends on how much you like the kid, really, I guess.
Yeah. Is it the firstborn or not? Because, you know, is it an heir? I've been watching too much House of the Dragon. Okay. Anyway, both reactions to that. And also, if you're going to give like her any advice, maybe it's don't wear high heels while riding a bike. That is like a recipe for the disaster. It's the same thing as like, don't drive in high heels or flip flops. You're inviting disaster into your life.
It's just not a good idea.
It's not. So that's the Mutt and Alexis storyline. I did think the bike was cute, but I do love getting to watch David ride the bike. I love how proud everyone is of him. I think it's so sweet. And we don't get a ton of Stevie this episode, but the one moment we do get from her is her snapping a photo of David riding a bike, which is just classic Stevie.
Yeah. I did find it interesting that David's experience with bikes were so bad that they decided to throw all the bikes that they owned into a bonfire in the Hamptons.
Terrible for the environment, by the way.
The Hamptons or just that one example?
Both.
The Hamptons is a magical place.
I don't believe that at all.
It is. I've been.
Maybe for you, it's a magical place. For me, it feels like just white rich people and their white rich furniture that I could spill on accidentally.
Are you thinking about the story from the podcast with the butt print?
Oh my gosh, no, but now I am from the gossip.
Normal gossip.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a good story.
Yeah. So check out that podcast. It's very funny. But let's talk about David. Because David, I love the David and Roland dynamic. It's not something we've really seen a lot of thus far in the show. But them taking a trip to the Blouse Barn and just butting heads the entire time. Because Roland has tacky taste, okay? He has absolute tacky taste. I think this is one of those episodes that rewards rewatches, Stuart. I don't know if you caught it on this watch. Maybe because you're watching closely. Did you notice how... let's see a way to put this. How chesty the mannequins were in the Blouse Barn.
Didn't actually.
Why are you body shaming the mannequins?
They're just like, they're showing so much cleave. I'm just saying. It's so much. And one of the small moments I like, Sarah, is when Roland is like, have you seen The Devil Wears Prada? And David says, of course, obviously.
Of course I have, duh.
And that, yeah, and then he starts telling the entire plotline. He's like, I've seen it, okay?
That is so annoying when people do that, where you're just like, yes, I know. Yeah, bro, I know. And they're like, no, let me tell you this whole thing. I'm like, stop mansplaining the freaking movie to me. Of course I've seen The Devil Wears Prada.
Of all things that should be sacred in the world from mansplaining, you'd think it'd be The Devil Wears Prada.
You would think
and
so.
Somehow Roland like tips over that line. What an asshole.
You would think so. I lived The Devil Wears Prada. You don't have to tell me about it.
Yeah, were you surprised, Stuart? I mean, we've talked about all the tchotchkes in the shit household and what kind of role play maybe they're into. Were you surprised to hear that they're into The Devil Wears Prada role play?
I mean, really, I shouldn't be. I was. But I love it so much because it's so stupid. Like, it's just like Roland impersonating Anne Hathaway is just a mental image I never knew I needed. But now it is in there. I can't unsee it. I can't unsee him, like, just chasing after Jocelyn with, like, four large, like, coffees and, like, grabbing all the Jocelyn stuff, like, mm-hmm. trying to impress her. And then Jocelyn getting off on this weird power kink that they seem to have going on. It's so disturbing. Mm-hmm. But I still love it. It's so just weird.
Yeah. I love how comfortable Roland is sharing all of these disgusting details about his sex life with seemingly everyone. No one is spared.
Yeah.
He's good at normalizing it.
I would love to normalize it. That is a chesty mannequin.
Right. I found a photo of the mannequin online. If anybody's watching the YouTube video, quite chesty. They're quite chesty. I can see why David thinks the store is skanky. But I love David is so sincere, at least in trying to be helpful, because right, if he really didn't care, he would have just been like, whatever, like pick whatever, it's fine. But he is like, okay, we finally found two pieces that are not as skanky and, you know, maybe like a Walmart version of the Devil Wears Prada. And they go to ring them up, and the woman who owns the place asks if it's for a funeral because they have bereavement discounts, which is
that is a good deal. And if I was David, I would just said yes. You know what I mean? To get the percentage off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, knowing David's like color palette of his entire wardrobe, like maybe there's some items in the blouse spun that could be repurposed in some way. Maybe they could form extensions for shirts, like shirt flaps or whatever he called it previously.
Oh, because he was you're wearing a skirt, and he's like, I'm not wearing a skirt. Yeah. So it's a pant flap.
It's a pant flap.
Yeah. I just love this entire plot line cracks me up from start to finish, just because of, you know, these guys aren't going to get along. Like, you know, that David has particular tastes, and at the very least, Roland is complimentary of that. He's just like, I picked you to help because you have really great taste and I need your help. And yet he basically ignores all of David's advice the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, Roland goes about it in the right way of like appealing to David's ego in a way, because I think at the beginning, like, even David is, when he's asked, he shows a sign of almost derision, but then comes about really quickly. And I think it's not necessarily, I think it's two things, like it appeals to his ego, but it's also like, I'm so intrigued as to where this is going to take me. Like, I have to know what is going to happen here. So you can see, like, David is looking with these, like, kind of skeptical beady eyes of just going, yeah, I'll do it. Just to, like, what else you got to do? Like, seriously, he's got nothing else on. May as well.
Yeah. At this point in time, he has nothing else to do. For me, like, I think that it's less like, oh, like, I care about Jocelyn and Roland finding an outfit, and more so him trying, because it's like, if David's going to put his name on something, then it has to be at the caliber that he anticipates for himself and his peers. So, like, that's why I thought that, like, once he said yes, he's like, I can't put my name on anything that is ugly as heck. So that's why I think that he was trying so hard. And yeah, he did find two pieces, I think a skirt and a blouse. I really want to hear you say that word again, because there's something, some sort of accent thing.
So I say blouse, they say the blouse barn. That's how they pronounce it, blouse. Yeah.
Is this a Canadian thing? Is this like a regional thing?
We're going to have to ask, like, the Canadians. I don't know.
Quirky thing? A blouse?
Blouse barn.
Blouse.
Is how they say it. Yeah.
Blouse. Stuart, how do you say blouse?
I've now heard the word so often that I don't know. blouse, I think. Blouse. Yeah, blouse.
No, just blouse.
Okay. So it's kind of weird. Okay. Like a nice black and white moment. Or no, just black. I think she would have looked very classy, very Meryl Streep adjacent.
Mm-hmm. Instead, they end up with a flashy red top that is really durable and has snaps. So.
Well, yeah. Snaps will come in handy.
I mean, is anybody in the year 2024 wearing anything with snaps that isn't an infant? I don't think so.
Even the infants upgraded to magnets.
So then there we go. No one should be wearing snaps, I think. I think we've drawn the line on snaps.
And pop.
Yes. Anything else to say on the Roland and David storyline this episode, Stuart?
I loved the throwback to like more Meryl Streep kind of content by referring to it as a real Sophie's Choice. And then David just being like, I hope you've not role played that one. And he was like, we played every Meryl Streep movie, which begs so many questions as to what other movies they have role played to. Like
Mamma Mia, that track. Yeah. I can totally see like an Into the Woods sort of thing.
Into the thick of it?
Yeah.
No, that's not from Into the Woods, but I always think also, wasn't she a whale in something recently? She was like the voice of a whale. I think it was a show, though, not a movie, so maybe it doesn't count.
The voice of a whale?
She was the voice of a whale in something that was covered on Pusher Recaps back in the day. I'll try to
find it. Meryl can play anything.
A Julie and Julia moment.
Banging over like butter. An altar reed or something.
It's just like throwing butter at each other. More butter.
Oh, I think it's Extrapolations. I think that was the name of the show. But yeah, lots of options.
Without a doubt, I'm sure it would be fantastic. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. You know, let them all talk. That's mm-hmm. what I always say.
Horrendous.
I defend my life with prime music of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
In Marvin's room. Okay, I'll stop.
Let's talk about Johnny and Moira's experience at the estate sale. Johnny ends up buying some like cufflinks for like $10.
What a deal.
It's a really good deal, especially if they are sterling silver.
Yeah.
Are either of you on estate sale TikTok? Because that is where I frequent.
No,
I want to be.
I'm obsessed with estate sale free content because you go on the website, you find your local estate sales. These people go around at, you know, they get like five, but you have to go early in the day because that's when all the good stuff is available. And then they go shopping, they get their hauls, they show. It's very competitive. I love estate sale content. And I mean, it's like a garage sale, but better because you can go inside the house and be a creepy stalker, which Jessica, as you well know, I love.
She loves to poke around in people's houses.
Yes, I do.
I also think there's something about an estate sale. Okay, because obviously I have questions for Stuart, because this is always my question for Stuart is, do they have estate sales in the UK? And then on top of that question, do they have like garage sales and or yard sales in the UK?
Car park.
Here's where I get caught up because... Yeah. I will often speak on behalf of the UK, but then I'll probably get corrected. I don't think we have estate sales. Like, okay. I think that some items like may go up for auction, but it's not like one specific kind of like you'll turn up to someone's place and they'll just be auctioning that. I think it all gets thrown in together with like bigger things and stuff like that. As for garage sales or yard sales,
sorry, we don't say garage, Stuart.
We have.
That's not a thing, garage.
We have car boot sales.
Car boot sales. Yes, I've seen this before.
Oh, so you keep everything in your trunk and then you just open everyone, it like a drug dealer?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so we basically, everyone packs everything that they want to sell into their car. They drive out into a field and then everyone will open up their boot. Typically, it's like a flea market.
Okay, it's less sketchy than just one person with their car. It's everybody has their. It's very much like the trunk or treats now that they have in the U.S.
Trunk or treats?
Yeah.
Trunk or treats. Trunk, it's so trunk or treats. Children no longer go house to house. Basically, all the parents congregate in a parking lot and hand out candy and they all like trunk or treat, like trunk of a car.
Have you seen the video of all the parents getting the candy cannon? Ooh. It's amazing. They all gather in a field and then there's like an air cannon filled with candy and they shoot it up into the air and all the candy flies into the air and like is dispersed out. But then all the kids get pelted and all you can hear is them just like like ducking to cover and screaming. That's honestly so amazing.
It makes Halloween fun for the parents. So I'm all in on that.
That is the most American thing I've ever seen, actually.
Gosh.
My husband must be listening to us talking right now because he messaged me a bunch of British people with old tea sets in their trunks.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you,
it's all they sell.
Yeah.
I mean, so at our kind of like car boot sales, it just tends to be the same items at every single store. Old VHS tapes, like understandably. Oh, yes. Slow cookers, or like crock pots, as you might call them, like, and that's just seemingly it. And then weirdly, and I don't know why people still think that people will buy them, and it's funny that it came up in this, like foot baths. Why would someone buy that from a car boot?
From a used foot bath. Yeah, that is pretty grody, actually.
Makes my skin crawl thinking about it.
The idea is disgusting. Yeah, no, absolutely not. Like, again, I understand the buying the mattress in this situation only because it's brand new. It's wrapped in plastic. Otherwise, you want bed bugs? That's how you get bed bugs. But Moira correctly points this out. I think she says we've been sleeping on a bed of like knives and something else. And so now they have a new, like a brand new mattress. I understand that. And I love Johnny getting on her case for bidding against herself multiple times in the auction scene. I've never done any sort of auction. The only auction I've ever attended was an art auction while we were on a cruise because we were bored and there was nothing else to do that day. And we wanted to go see the pretty art. And then I just sat there thinking about how poor we were as everyone bid like hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars on art that I was like, never could I afford this, but looks cool.
Were you tempted to throw in a bid? Like just to try and like slip it in just to engage?
No, because I was very nervous that we would win. I would owe them money.
Jess, have you ever done, have you ever eBayed?
Yeah, back in the day I've eBayed. Now I'm more of a, what is it, buy it now sort of gal.
Yeah.
But I've done the eBay bidding before. And there's always those like, I don't know what they call them, the eBay snipers or something.
Yeah, they come in the last minute.
Yeah.
So I've seen from Will and Grace with Karen at the, like, I think it's like the swimming thing and like her eBay nemesis is... like in the same audience as her.
eBay is a tough game. But I feel like, Sarah, I feel like you would love an estate sale, not just because you get to poke around in people's business, but I do think because you have a very good eye, you're in the design industry. So you have a good eye for like, oh, this particular piece, even on a buy it and then sell it later, kind of like flip it and make money off of it. You'd be really good at that.
I'd be interested in that. I mean, currently I frequent Facebook Marketplace a lot, and I guess that is a digital version of a yard sale or of an estate sale. And we've been, you know, we just got a new house. We've been furnishing it, and we've definitely been trolling around on the Facebook Marketplace and trying to sell stuff too. But Facebook Marketplace is not the same for sellers as it used to be. There are some scammers out there.
It's at least I think Facebook scary. Marketplace is a little bit better than like Craigslist was back in the day, where it's like, well, either I'm going to make $20 or I'm going to get murdered. So there's like, you know.
Yeah, I'm not worried about being murdered, but there's definitely people that are trying to scam you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really enjoy. I mean, there's such good stuff. Like I got an entire like Corral set, like casserole dishes set.
Nice.
For like $25 at one point.
That's and they don't make it like they used to. So that kind of stuff, you know, is like good quality. Not to be an old, but
yeah. And I mean, I am not surprised that Johnny was like interested in some cufflinks that were probably, I mean, if you think about it, like he probably lost like a lot of things that he found really special. Including cufflinks. So to have like a little bit, I think Johnny is somebody that like takes a lot of pride in the way that he looks and the way he dresses. Like we always see him in a suit. So for like something like cufflinks to mainly be taken away from him, I'm sure like it feels like he got a little bit of himself back with those cufflinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he's clearly like trying to hold on to, or like misses the old stuff. Like we're talking about his golf clubs so affectionately, like they were custom made. Like he loves those embellishments and things. I did wonder though as whether or not he's going to try and put these cufflinks onto expenses for his new business that he seems to be trying to set up. Like, because technically he can wear them. Are they part of a uniform?
It's a business. Can you claim expense. That on taxes? He can write it off.
Well, you know,
if he can.
If it works, then why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moira doesn't seem too pleased, though, until she finds the mattress, and then she's upset that Jocelyn sees it first. I love Johnny saying, well, there are some lamps that have big bulbs, and we could get some big bulbs to put in the big bulb lamps. So, I mean, I feel like a lamp would actually be a good purchase at an estate sale as well, because you probably get a decent quality lamp.
Those looked a little crusty, dusty.
Those particular ones, but I like the idea. I like the idea that Johnny had. But they do end up with the mattress, and it's just so disturbing to me. The idea of Roland trolling around at like 9 p.m. with this mattress in the back of his trunk, like, hey, it's only slightly used, if you know what I mean. It's like, I don't want to think. All you had to say was like, oh, I sat on it and it was too firm or too soft or whatever. Instead, it's like, no, Jocelyn sat on it. It's like, just stop it. No one wants to know about your sexual exploits.
Well,
Roland.
You know,
I don't know about Roland's sexual exploits.
I'm just curious. I would be curious. I wouldn't care if people are in my bed making love. All for them. Do you care about that sort of thing?
Yes.
Why?
Well, okay. I don't even know where to begin with this. Number one, it's Roland. And like Moira says,
so it's
he
Roland
does not have good hygienic
issue.
Practices. It's like, I'd be nervous. Most people, if they're going to like put a mattress on their bed, they're probably going to put some sheets on it, some blankets. Like there is a barrier between your ass and the mattress. Mm-hmm. Roland, A, is kind of grody. B, mm-hmm. I feel like he'd be like, come on, Joss, let's do it. You know, let's raw this bed. I don't know, raw bed, like raw dog it on the, I don't know what it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like he wouldn't put sheets on before he'd be going to Pound Town.
Is that a famous line from a Meryl Streep film? Like,
that's a dramatic reenactment. This is why Meryl wins all the awards.
Yes. I'm just saying, like, it's gross. And it depends on the person. Like, to Johnny's point of, we're sleeping on a motel mattress. Like, exactly. So many people have bone on this mattress.
Yeah, Stuart, this is why I'm not that pressed. Because if you've slept on a hotel motel mattress or an Airbnb mattress, you are one of many that have slept / had intimate relations on that mattress. It doesn't matter. Of course, you're not going to want to think about it too much if you're bothered about that sort of thing. But that's why it's like, I would rather Jess or Stuart, for either of you to have intimate relations on my bed than a stranger.
Well, exactly. But I feel like Roland is worse than a stranger, because the devil you know versus the devil you don't know, it's like, but I know he nasty.
Do you think that he's really nasty? Like, he owns a freaking town, Jessica. Well, I mean, he's the mayor.
Have you seen him? Have you just taken a gander at him?
He is a bit nasty, but he also did arrange for the motel room for them. And I would wager quite like a lot of money that Roland has already slept in the bed that they are already using.
Ew.
So what does it matter?
I'm saying.
Him and Jocelyn have christened every single one of those.
Ew.
I bet.
They probably toured. They made a
tour.
Of course they did.
Different Meryl Streep film in every single room.
I mean, this is the thing. Beggars can't be choosers, right? So, like, $50 is $50, and you got a really nice mattress out of it.
Yeah.
You're going to put sheets on it at the very least, so at least you're not going to be on the bare mattress.
Plus the mattress protector.
Yeah. It's just, it grosses me out to think about it, but, like...
Well, you're a never-nude, so that's why.
Classic. Yeah, classically a never-nude. But yeah, I do think all three storylines in this episode are really top notch. All three of them are really, really funny. I think there's some amount of character progression at the very least in like the Alexis and David learning how to ride a bike. Like that's a big deal for them. And I think the Alexis and Mutt storyline is just further proof that like, he doesn't understand who she is on a very base level.
But, okay, now I'm going to get back onto the kind of like, maybe this isn't entirely bad. it's something that she does end up enjoying, and it is good for her to learn how to ride a bike. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily a good gift, but in terms of like her growth as a human being, learning to ride a bike is actually a very good thing for her to do in a town where she needs to get around and cannot afford a car. Don't hate me.
But, okay, so then let me put it this way. Stuart, will we ever see Alexis ride this bike again on the show? We have four seasons.
I really hope so that we can get more of Annie Murphy's like physical comedy acting, because her interacting with that bike, whether it was riding it stationary and just flailing despite it being stationary, or trying to maneuver it in the motel room, was just one of the best bits of physical comedy I've seen in a long time. So I kind of want it to happen just for that reason. But story-wise, whether or not I can see that happening, probably not. She's an absolute passenger princess, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. Big same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you in terms of the physical comedy. Yet again, we get like incredible Alexis and David sibling rivalry moments in the very beginning of the episode when she's like, no, like, I don't want this bike. No. And then when she's leaving, he's like, see ya. And she's like, I hate you, David. Hate you. It's just.
Have we seen Alexis with her little bunny foo-foo hands?
Yes, the hands, like, yeah, she loves to do
I
that.
Love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's how she gets into character. Like,
pretend she's holding a purse. That's it. Just walk around like that. All right, let's get into some feedback that we got. We already know, Stuart, can you confirm for us that you know how to ride a bike?
I can ride a bike, yes.
Okay.
I had one. Mm. Well, I say until recently, but it got stolen. So I was livid because I was like, I'd moved to a short, like, kind of like walk to work. And I was like, oh, I may as well cycle, make it even quicker to get to work. And within 2 weeks of moving into my new place, it got stolen from our locked garage.
Wow. The mean locked garage.
I know, right? Oh. So dangerous here.
Yeah. So that answers one question.
I think it was George.
He was like a bitch. The king just came by and was like, that's Stuart. I'm going to take his bike.
Who the heck is George?
She was just like everyone in Britain has the name George. Like, there's so many Georges. Yeah. She could be right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very familiar with the royal family. We see each other all the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So cash. He's been eyeing that bike for years.
So we did get feedback from Trish where she says, buying a bike is perhaps presumptuous, but I think it's an overall nice gesture. And Mutt is trying to help. Okay, so just because Trish said it doesn't make it gospel. And Mutt is trying to help Alexis out. Even though she does say she'd rather have a car, the fact that she questions that first thought means I think she's growing. Because season one, Alexis would probably just say the first statement. I think that's very true. It's very fair to say. And finding out that David nor Alexis learned to ride a bike makes a lot of sense, but I'm pleased she pushed herself out of her comfort zone and with the help of Twyla achieved a milestone. I think Twyla is another character that is similar to Alexis in that we get to hear these little bites of her family history, and they're always insane.
Like, referring to, like, one of her mom's boyfriends, like, she's had a tumultuous childhood, but I love that she's like always really positive about it. Like, she just acknowledges it and then moves on, but always comes out with a good anecdote.
Yeah,
I love Twyla.
Yeah, we also heard from Jared something about the way that David and Alexis say a helmet in unison is absolutely hysterical to me. I really wanted to know how many outtakes there are of that. Yeah, how many takes did it take for them to get in unison?
At the end of the season, I'm looking up bloopers. I don't know why I've not looked up bloopers before this.
I don't know why you haven't either.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Let's get into our Simply the Best rating and Disgruntled Pelican rating. Simply the Best, of course, is the MVP of the episode. I'll go first this time, Stuart. I know you hate, I always put you on the spot first. I'm giving my point to David. One, he learns how to ride a bike. Two, he helps Roland pick out an outfit and gets slightly frustrated with Roland, but he could have like really gone off on Roland many times this episode and he refrained from doing so. So I'm going to give my point to David. I think he earned it. What do you say, Stuart?
I'm also going to give it to David. I was tempted to say Mutt just to annoy you. But he didn't. I don't think that Mutt necessarily was in contention for an LVP. I'm just going to put that out there. But yeah, David does a fairly good deed, tries to drive Roland towards more of a kind of like more of an acceptable taste level in David's own eyes, but also endearingly does try to help. And also gives some sass to a retail worker that I think truly deserved it, which we'll get onto shortly.
Yeah. Sarah, what about you? Who is simply the best this episode?
I'll go with David as well. Sure.
Yeah, I think he really did earn it.
Yeah.
3 for 3 is for rarity for David. Normally he's been a bit of a sideline character, always gets like the second place kind of thing when it comes to those.
Yeah. Rude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll get a lot more as time goes on. He's going to get a lot of great storylines. Yeah. Disgruntled Pelican. I gave my point to Mutt because I think giving a bike to someone like Alexis is a terrible idea. I think it shows he doesn't know her.
Hold up. But no. But he listens to her because he heard that she missed cycling. He heard that something else that she said. Like, he was listening. He was doing active listening, unlike me.
She needed a mode of transport and she missed spin cycling. He put the two together, didn't come out with the correct answer, but he tried.
If the bike was cuter, then it would be a great gift.
She still wouldn't have liked it, no matter how cute it is.
She did by the end, though.
Yeah.
She's going to give it to David as a gift.
That's biased.
She's going to re-gift it.
Oh, no. Yeah. That is a biased choice.
All right, Sarah, you tell us who your disgruntled pelican is.
Disgruntled pelican. I will say, I mean, like, I hate that the blouse barn. I really do. Like, I hated the whole entire experience. I think that the outfits that were chosen were ugly. I think that the I do think the mannequins are a little questionable.
They're very busty.
Yeah.
So Wendy is who you're giving your point to. She's the owner.
I hated that line. Oh, like, are you guys like friends of Peter Pan or whatever?
Oh, because you're the Lost Boys. That's terrible.
I am so happy you've said that, Sarah, because I've got Wendy down as mine as well.
Yeah.
She comes along with the cheesiest, most horrible kind of opening line, just the Lost Boys, and then proceeds to, like, first off, suggest that black clothing is only for bereavements and is a somber color. No, it is not. Someone who always wears black, leave me alone. But also, like, and if you're asking my opinion, and so good that David just claps back and goes, are we though? Just put her in her place. I'm here for that.
Yeah.
I don't think Wendy is living by the rules of the customer is always right. Because she's very no-budding David all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Stupid Wendy. All right, let's get into our wig watch because Moira is sporting a new one this week at the estate sale. It's like a lob, I guess, kind of like a brunette lob. It's very plain, I would say, Sarah, as far as Moira wigs are concerned.
Hate it. Throw in the fire.
Yes.
What do you think, Stuart?
It's too plain. It's too normal. I get why she might have chosen this. She wants to be like a bit of a professional. She's going to an auction. It's a very serious endeavor. This isn't Moira, though. I don't want Moira to wear like kind of really normal business bitch kind of like wigs. I want her to be like wearing the outrageous ones with like crow feathers and things.
It's not big enough. Yeah.
Not my favorite.
It needs more body.
Yeah.
It needs more height. It needs more volume. It needs more everything, I think.
If this wig had a name, though. Brown is her color, though. But yeah, the color of it is very Karen.
It is giving Karen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not good. Well, hopefully we'll have something better soon that Moira sports. I can think of some iconic ones. I don't know how many are coming up in the near future, but there will be some really nice ones. All right, let's get into tier ranking this episode. As a reminder, we have our tiers, full bouquet, hot shit's at the top, shouldn't it? What happened to this thing? Go up there.
Ruined it.
Okay, hot shit at the top, then full bouquet, then love that journey for me. Ew, David, shit out of luck. We have finding David and family dinner, both in hot shit, and then Jazza Gals in love that journey for me. Today we must place estate sale. Stuart, any vibes on where this belongs out the gate?
this one had me laughing throughout. I think if we put the cabin in Hot Shit before, I think this one deserves to be in there as well.
Whoa, strong take. Sarah, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, not everything can be hot shit, right? Like, we gotta, like, move some stuff down. Is this, like, a malleable, fluid thing, or...
Yeah, so this is a fluid document up until the end of the season. So we're doing it season by season. So season one had its own. And I will say, Stuart, I think there was only one hot shit in season one.
Yeah,
we were very, like, very strict. Like, we were like, no, it has to be, like, 10 out of 10 to be in the hot shit. This one, we were just, they're like killer episodes. So if Sarah, if you don't think it belongs in hot shit, are you advocating for full bouquet or even lower than that? With love, well, no. That journey for me being average.
No, I want to knock the other ones down and then put mine on top, of course. Okay. But
that's not your episode. Just because you guessed it on it doesn't mean you own the episode.
Mine. I probably would have put it in full bouquet or hot shit. I mean, I don't know. I haven't watched episodes one and two recently of season two, but, like, honestly, like, do you find all three of these, like, equally on the same level?
I think I would put Estate Sale in full bouquet just because I think Finding David and Family Dinner are just a little bit above it. Like, I love all three storylines in Estate Sale, but I think if you had to cut one, I think like the actual part, like the estate sale portion of the episode is probably what I would cut out and say it's slightly less than top tier. But again, it's like, it's like a game of inches. I like that. Here.
Yeah. Then I guess if that's how you feel, then I would probably put that in full bouquet. Like, we can't be giving everything the gold medal. I mean, like, this isn't like this is the Olympics of talking shit tier rankings, whatever.
It's the Olympics. It's serious.
Not everybody gets like a participation medal, you know?
Okay, boomer. Jesus.
Put it in full bouquet or knock one down and then put in hot shit.
Stuart, do you think Estate Sale is better or worse than Finding David and Family Dinner?
I think for laughs, I think it was, I'm going to maybe be controversial here, I think it was funnier than Family Dinner.
I just love the folded in.
No, I'm doing an upheaval. Knock 2.2 down to full bouquet. Estate Sale up, go up.
Let me double check. So what was the, I'm going to look and see. Who? No, I'm double checking my document. The
fact checkers, Sarah.
Let me get the auditors going.
So I'm double checking as to what Family Dinner had in terms of like storylines besides the dinner part. It's Alexis breaking up with Ted, and it's Johnny finding the office space. I think I agree. I think Family Dinner, if we move Family Dinner down to full bouquet and then put Estate Sale in hot shit.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
I think that's right. I think we may have inflated Family Dinner for the folding
cheese. It's the cheese.
Yeah, because it's an iconic scene. And I don't want to kind of be seen as if we didn't like that scene. So maybe we were a bit high on it at the time. But now I've gone on and like, there are more iconic scenes to come. But yeah, for me at least, this one was certainly funnier. I think putting it at the end of Hot Shit and maybe kind of like with Family Dinner, having it open to possibly downgrading it if something else comes along that kind of realigns these kind of tier rankings, then I'm all for that as well. But I feel wrong putting the cabin in hot shit before and not putting this one in, because I think the two of them on the same level.
All right, well then let's lock this in at least temporarily for this week with Finding David and Estate Sale in hot shit, Family Dinner in full bouquet, and Jazz the Gals in Love That Journey for me. What a great episode. I love season two, obviously, is incredible, but I feel like we're off to such a fun start here. And Stuart, would you like to know what next week's episode is titled?
Yes, please.
Bob's Bagels.
What? Okay, first off, Bob episode, everyone. Alert, Bob Jog. Yeah, we're probably going to get
Bob
one.
Bob Jog, baby.
Yeah. But Bob's Bagels. Does this mean that maybe Johnny's business idea, maybe Bob's going to fund it, get the name of it?
We'll have to wait and see.
I like it.
So that's
and the bagels.
Week. Yeah, love a bagel. That's next week. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell everyone where else they can find you, what else you have going on?
Yeah, so you can find Jess and I at Chit 90 Shows Taught Me. Of course, we cover Felicity, Buffy, and a various amount of 90s movies. And then I'm also a part of the Whirlwind podcast team, where we cover a whole heap of stuff like Doctor Who and Shameless and Pretty Little Liars and Veronica Mars and Toons. And we just did The Bear and we did the Ren Faire. So much stuff. So you can follow us at Whirlwind Pods.
Incredible. Stuart, anything else you want to share with the class today?
Nothing that I can think of. The Survivor Watch is going on, which is where my entirety of my life and effort is going towards. But yeah, if you need to harass me for my opinions on things, Stuart drinks tea on all the socials.
Incredible. We'll be back next week with Bob's Bagels. Until then, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.